So, for your pleasure this morning, we have Pastor Jacqueline Shanahan. Is that your correct name? Jacqueline Shanahan, all the way from Hillside Church. So, I don't know that I've ever heard Jackie's testimony. I've heard probably bits and pieces and probably surmised bits and pieces, but this morning we're going to get it all. Now, I'm not sure what version it's going to be, but it won't be the G version, but it won't be the R-plus version. It'll just be the right version for the day. Amen. So I just might get her up here, and Kyla, we might just pray for you if we can. Is that all right?
You were going to get the R-rated, but I can see some young ears in that room, so okay. It's all right.
The Lord protect them. So, Lord, we thank you for this woman of God. And, Lord, the few times I've seen her at the front of a crowd, even on Wednesday, Lord, there's just an overflow of her heart that just comes out so naturally and so beautifully. And you've given her gifts, and I just watched her a couple of times in youth group, and I know others, and Devin could give many a testimony where she's just ministered to these children, and it's been a beautiful thing to watch. She's just such a heart for them. And you've multiplied that ministry, as has been said, tenfold from the first day she started with seven, and now there's 70 coming. It's a tenfold increase, Lord. So I pray for her ministry, or your ministry through her, Lord, at Hillside. I pray that workers, you tell us to pray for workers for the harvest. I pray in this crowd now there are workers that are willing to put their hand up to help. What can I do? And come alongside this young lady in the Lord. And we just bless her today, Lord, and give us ears to hear her heart in Jesus' mighty name. Amen?
Amen.
All righty.
Amen, amen. Good morning, church. How are we all today? You all look great. You look refreshed. I was actually really blessed. The way we operate at youth ministry is very much like what's happened this morning, just free for all. And I was actually really blessed this week. I got to go away with the Hillside Chapel team on a camp overnight, and we were supposed to be playing some games, and can you hear a bit of reverb? I'll move this way. We were supposed to play some games in the like maybe 9, 10 o'clock at night, but we began to worship, and then the Holy Spirit broke out, and, you know, there was 20 young people that just got touched by the Lord. You know, one girl broke out in tears, and then the person next to her, it just flowed. And I just, Mr. Akabwe began to prophesy over everyone, and one of the words that he gave me was, "The feast is ready." And that's the vision that I got when you know, people were coming forth for healing earlier and coming forth with a word in season. And, you know, they were bringing their peace to the feast. And I just really believe that that's going to continue to flow on as we continue to seek first God's kingdom. And, yeah, I was just really blessed by that. So let's just pray quickly. Father, we just thank you, God. We thank you just for Hillside Church. We thank you that you have called this church for such a time as this. And Lord, I just pray right now, Father, that our hearts would be open, our spirits would be open to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, to see what the Holy Spirit is doing. And Lord, we just empty ourselves of ourselves right now, and we just ask you to fill us afresh. Fill us afresh, so that we can do what you've called us to do. We can be your hands and we can be your feet and we can be your mouthpiece. And Lord, I just pray even those in the room that haven't quite understood where their calling is or what you've designed them to do for you, Lord, to bring you glory, I just pray that you would just reveal it. And Lord, that gifts would begin to flow in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you that this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Amen.
Amen.
So I've just been asked to share a little bit of my story. I know a lot of you have probably heard of it. I know a lot of the young people definitely hear it a lot, but, you know, that's what family is. It's getting to know each other on a deeper level, and, you know, we are the church and we are family. We are one big family, and with family comes vulnerability. With family comes repentance and growth and change. And I just love the fact that this church, their mission is that transformation in Jesus' name. because that is one thing that God has definitely done in my life. You know, I wasn't raised up in a Pentecostal church. You know, I got given the foundations, like the Ten Commandments coming up through school. I went to a Catholic primary school, so I was really blessed in that. I had amazing grandparents who fostered my mother and cared for us as young people and taught us the word and taught us, you know, what is right and what is wrong. But sometimes that's not necessarily enough to really fully pull us in. But we just praise God for parents and grandparents who pray. Because no matter where we walk astray or what happens in our life, that, you know, God is God. And we have what we ask when we pray. And so I just really believe that as you continue to pray for your family members that might be walking astray, that he's so far greater than any of that. And if he can bring me back to his feet and make me fall down and surrender, he can do it for anyone. So my journey started 12 years ago in 2011 with the Lord. I'm going to rewind it a little bit for you guys just so you can have a little bit of an idea of, you know, little bits and pieces throughout my life. I won't go too into depth because we don't want to put too much focus on the enemy's impact in our life, but we want to give glory to God. Amen. So we're overcomers. Why? How are we overcomers? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I just invite you on a journey with me. Hopefully I'm used to being down low because I'm not real into the light, so I'll try my best. But my name's Jacqueline. Everyone calls me Jackie, but I'm changing my name. I was born in Albury Wodonga, which is the border of New South Wales and Victoria. As I shared a little bit before, I got brought up with some foundations of who God is. That I got taught the Ten Commandments in school. I always actually believed in God. Like I always had faith in God, as we have faith in our chairs. That reverb so bad. I'm going to come back down here. As we have, yeah. Where was I? Can someone bring me back? Maybe I should sit down. Is that? Should I stay here? Is this?
Hello.
I like to walk around a little bit. Because when you're in youth ministry, right, you have a few distractions over here, so you just walk over. And then they're like, whoop. And then there's some distractions over there, so then you walk over here. So it's sort of just in my nature to walk around. Not that any of you will be distractions, because you're a beautiful audience, but, yeah, praise God. Yeah, I grew up in Albury Wodonga. I was a little bit of a cheeky young girl. I loved to hang out with the boys. I was a bit of a tomboy. I loved to go motorbike riding and, you know, I was just a little rat bag. Loved my brother so much. I'm the youngest of five kids. We have four girls, one boy. And so I was always off with the boys. I was like, stuff Barbies, let's go get into the good stuff. And I was that rough that one time my brother wouldn't take me for a ride on the motorbike. So I don't remember this part, but apparently I picked up a helmet and threw it at his head. And so he chased after me and gave me the Harry boot. And his boot actually slit my leg completely open, like a full-on gash wound, because there was metal buckles. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but there was just this huge gash. And, man, he didn't talk to me for 3 months because he felt so much guilt and so much condemnation that he'd hurt his little sister. But, you know, I was fine. Once I saw it, I went to cry and get the attention that I wanted. But the moment that I saw how awesome this gash was, I was like, oh, cool, what's that? Because all my insides were hanging out of my leg and everyone's just like, what? And so I had to actually hold, like, this wound closed while we drove to the hospital. So that's how rough I was as a young child, just to give you a little bit of insight. So my parents divorced when I was around 4 years old. So obviously with separation, it can cause all sorts of issues. Unfortunately, for my age, I hadn't quite developed. I don't know if any of you study the human brain and how neural pathways are formed and how we have different spurts of growth in our life to form who we are. But at around the ages of 4 to 6, we're developing a part of our sort of relational pathways in our brain. So it's like what happens in those years actually impacts who we become. So unfortunately, I had a little bit of rejection issues, and it's different for everyone. Sometimes, you know, people have already developed that. Unfortunately, for me, it actually caused some rejections in my life. And so I automatically, entering into school, I had this fear of people leaving. And as I began to go through my young years of school, I almost like held people at a distance. Like I wouldn't let people fully in because I was afraid that one day they're just going to leave. And so I thought, if I don't get too close, they can't actually hurt me when they do leave. So I was almost just protecting myself in that. So as I grew up, if I started to have these senses of people rejecting me, I'd reject them first. I'd be like, oh, I'll get you. And so I'd behave in a way that would actually repulse people. And I'd, it's almost like when you are rejected, when you feel rejected, you will be rejected. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. Amen? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we think becomes the way we feel. What we feel becomes the way we act. The way we act determines our impact. It's what we manifest, yeah? Does that make sense? I don't have any of this written down, by the way. So obviously God's got his own plan today. So I'm just going to roll with it. So if I stop and pause, have grace with me. So yeah, at 14, I got diagnosed. Actually, it was probably 12. I got diagnosed with depression, anxiety. And I got asked to take these tablets. But because I was quite a sick young child, I was very unwell, which I think sickness is very much linked to our trauma and linked to the things that we're holding on to. So I really believe for my own life, my sickness was a reflection of the rejection that I accepted into my world. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, amen? So I was already on these tablets because they removed my spleen at 8 years old. Because they thought my spleen was eating my platelets, which was then causing my blood, me to bleed a lot. So I'd have these, like, 3-hour, 4-hour nosebleeds and clots like this big would come out of my nose. And so I was in and out of hospital constantly as a young person. So I had to take these tablets for my spleenliness, lack of spleen. Is that even a word? Let's just go with it. And so I didn't want to take any more tablets. I hated taking tablets. It was so annoying. So I actually, praise God, like I actually as a young person just refused to take antidepressants because I had this thing that if I took them, and I'm not saying don't take medication that you've been described, by all means God designed doctors, he designed them to know what they're doing and they do know what they're doing, but obviously, you know, God can heal and God can take anyone on a different journey. So please hear me when I say that, I'm not saying don't take your tablets, but in my case, I was just like, I'm not taking them. Like, I don't want to. I don't want to get immune to antidepressants, so I ain't going to take them. Praise God, I didn't. Age 14, I got introduced to marijuana. So it was just at a party. I don't know why I was allowed. I think because I was number 5. Who knows that number 1 gets the real hard stuff. Number 2, it's, a little bit lenient. Number 3, you can have a bit more. Number 4, have a bit more. Number 5, do what you want. So lucky me, I was number 5 and I got to have a little bit of a life, but not that it necessarily helped me. Young people, if you're in the room, if your parents encourage you not to do something, don't do it because they know you and they love you. People don't tell you, like God, let's think about God in this situation. God only puts things in the Word of God to warn us so we don't get hurt. So all of the stuff that is written in this Word isn't to have rules and to be boring, it's to protect us. Like how many of you, I know if I had a young person and that we lived on a busy street, I wouldn't just let them just go over across the road to the park and cross this busy road. I would put some rules in place so they can follow those rules so they can get to where they're going safely. So I'd be like, all right, well, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to walk up the road. We're going to go over the traffic light crossing. We're going to wait for it to go green. Then we're going to cross over. And then we're going to walk over the park. And then we're going to have our fun. And we're going to go back the exact same way. But you do that to protect your children. Amen. God does this to protect us in the spirit, in the things of the spirit. But there's some spiritual principles. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. You know, praise God, we've actually got a couple of young people in our youth ministry who really see in the spirit, like, more than me. I'm just like, man, how can they get these words and they get these pictures? And I try my best to be able to let them express that in a safe environment, because youth group is a safe environment. And, you know, it's not about giving them a 10-point sermon, in my opinion. We have a very young youth group. We've got some really mature young people in that capacity, but we actually, as Pastor Elder Devon, sorry, I apologize. Excuse me for saying pastor, it's a habit that I have. But yeah, we try and let them flow as much as they can to really grasp the gifts and to be able to express what God's put in them, because we're all different. Like, you know, I was actually at a service a couple of Sundays ago, and they had these flags, and there was just this unity in this flag waving. I've never been so inspired by these flag waving. But it was so beautifully in sync that when, you know, they were literally following who was leading. Like, they were doing their thing. It was beautiful. And then when someone spoke, they were all in this line of, it was like being in heaven, actually. It was like this formatted line. And they were holding these flags straight in the air. And so until, obviously, the music began to flow again, and then they'd start to go again. And there was just this unity in the spirit where, like, they just absolutely just carried this anointing. And I was like, man, I've never been so inspired by the flags, but it was just because there was such a spirit of unity. And it really, really encouraged me. Anyways, I'm going to get back to where I was going. So where was I? Marijuana. Woo! Anyways, I got the absolute life shaken out of me that night, because on our drive home, we actually got pulled over by the police, and I'm in the back seat, and I'm this little 14-year-old stoned out of my brain being like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going to go to jail. Like, it was really like, because back then, you know, young people are getting into that sort of stuff way younger than 14, but back in those days, you know, like, it was quite frightening. So thankfully we got home that night. I think it was by the grace of God, because the person that was driving was actually intoxicated, but I don't know how she got away with it. I honestly don't, but she did. So praise God that she did, but praise God that she's going to be set free in Jesus' name as well. Amen? So I was in a violent relationship after that for a few years with a young man who was lost. He was broken, and I kind of got exposed to violence in that, which was hard, but it obviously made me stronger as well. But it also, I think, didn't help with this trust issue that I had. So it just created layer, obviously there's circumstances that happen in our life, layer upon layer upon layer. And I ended up getting into all sorts of other stuff. So it honestly started with half a pill, which then I was hooked instantly. Unfortunately, that's the problem with drugs, is they're a counterfeit from who God is, and you just want more of it. Once you've had a dose, you just want more. So that one, half a pill then turned into a pill the next weekend, and then it just kept going on. Like, you go back for that high, but you need that extra little bit more to get that high again. So then you just take more and more and more. Within a few weeks, a guy knew that I knew everyone in the nightclub. I think God's placed this gift upon me to be able to make friends in nightclubs, because I used to be friends with everyone. And this guy's like, oh, Jackie, if you sell 10 pills for us, we'll give you one for free. So I was like, all right, all right, all right. So I'd go get rid of him in 5 minutes, and they're like, oh, here's one for free. And so that's how my journey began. 10 then turned into 20, then turned into 30. And before I knew it, I was walking to a nightclub with 200 pills in my pocket, because I just had this gift. God gave me this gift, but I wasn't using it for his glory. I was using it for the enemy, unfortunately. Anyways, the pills turned into everything else: cocaine, speed, liquid ecstasy. We had acid, We were selling a lot of marijuana. We had this hookup with one of the big gangs in Sydney. They'd come down to Albury and they'd supply us with everything that we needed, and we'd just go out and make money. It was quick, easy money, and that became my addiction, was making money. So as you can imagine, someone who's filling themselves with all sorts of substances, life spiraled out of control very quickly. I became very violent. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I was a very, very broken young lady who was just looking for love. And I was just looking everywhere but God. I used to actually talk to God a lot, but I thought he was up in the sky. I thought he was far away. I didn't realize you could have like an actual intimate relationship with God. I was confused, but even when I'd be overdosing, I'd talk to him. I'd be like, God, like, is it ready now? Like, can we do this now? You know, like I used to talk to him, but he was never real to me. So all my family, all my friends could see that little Jackie was making a big, big mess of her life. And I had people offering to, you know, take me away. And thankfully, a guy that I had a crush on actually bought me a one-way ticket to WA. She's like, come work on the mines, Jack, you'll love it. You can make heaps of money. So I was like, oh, that sounds good. So I jumped on this one-way ticket to Perth, Western Australia in 2011. I think it was probably January. We'd just been to a three-day festival and gotten very messed up. But he was a bit of a party boy too. So it was a good idea, but then it wasn't such a, like, there was sort of, yeah, all sorts of extra added stuff that comes with that. So I got to Perth, WA. He chucked me on his mum's couch in Ferndale. So I was living on a couch for a few weeks until that just got really uncomfortable, and rejection started to kick in and insecurity started to kick in. So I'd go up and stay in Kalbarri when the boys were on their break, and I'd party all week long, and then I'd come back to Perth and go and sleep in the back of a car along the beaches down near South Beach and City Beach, all up there. And the rangers would come knock on me window and say, excuse me, love, you can't sleep there. So I'd these sleepless nights, I'd have to jump in the car again and drive up to the next beach and knock, knock, knock. Sorry, love, you can't sleep there. So you can imagine I was pretty, pretty exhausted. I was pretty embarrassed because I'd turned into the same person here that I was over there. I'd go to the backpackers in Fremantle, Sundancers backpackers, and just go drink their white-labelled wine, scab their pipes and whatever else we could get our hands on. But I was just a broken cookie over here too. And I remember after one night I was sitting in the back of my car, I just got off the phone to my mum. Yeah, my mama, it's all going good over here. I'll start work next week. Yeah, 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 I'm fine, I'm good, I'm great. Because I was so full of pride that I couldn't actually tell her where I was really at. So I just told her what she needed to hear and what she wanted to hear. And in that moment, I really, really felt myself break. Like, I really broke in that moment. Because I knew that if I went back, that they'd be like, uh-huh, we told you so. She's just a dropkick. Ah, we told you so. We knew it wouldn't work out. Ah, we told you so. She's just hopeless, you know. Because I'd created that life for myself. People were sick of hearing my lies. People were sick of hearing, you know, oh, I'm going to do this next week, and I'd never do it. It's just this vicious circle of addiction that we just completely, it's just a big lie. And, you know, I'd actually met a senior pastor of Victory Life for the first time maybe once the year before. She heard I was coming to WA and she said, oh, you should come to my church. And then she wanted me to come meet her daughter, so I actually went to visit them, and but they tricked me. They're like, oh, we'll have lunch with you, but you've got to come to church first. So this was sort of in the time that I was living in the back of a car. And so I went to church service. So they were aware that I was here, and they were aware that, you know, But they had no idea my circumstances. So I'm sitting in the back of the car and I get this text message and it says, did you need somewhere to stay? And I was like, what? Like, this is so weird. Like, I don't even know these people and they're offering me somewhere to sleep. So of course I was like, yeah, I do actually. So I took them up on the offer and I moved into their home and praise God that they are a praying family and they know the word, because they began to pray over me every day. And this reverential fear of God just entered me, because I was so afraid, like a good fear of the anointing. Like, I could feel the anointing in this home and I was like, man, I can't do anything wrong. And I was really like oblivious to the things of God. So I didn't understand the concept of the prophetic. So when this person would, you know, have words of knowledge and prophesy over me, I'm like, this woman's psychic, like she's a psychic. So I was too scared to do anything wrong because I was afraid that she's going to know what I was doing. So what I began to do is I was like on my best behavior. I was in this home and you know, they gave me a Bible. I don't think it's this one. She gave me this Bible as well, but she gave me this Bible and she's like, oh, what'd you read in the Bible? When she'd cook me eggs in the morning, I'd be like, so I began to read my word because I was too scared I wouldn't have an answer for her. So I begin to read the word and the very first scripture, she actually said to me, just read it, and if something jumps out at you, that's God's trying to speak to you. And so I'm reading, and in Romans 12, 1 to 2, it says, it might be actually Romans 1, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that just like full just jumped into my spirit. And I'm like, you know, what does that even mean? What does that mean? How do we renew our mind? The word. Have some paper. So I began to read the word. I actually started to tell them about all this because I was living in hell. I don't know if any of you have been living in hell before, but when I was doing all the bad stuff, I was living in hell. Like, we were having some demonic spiritual encounters. You know, demons were showing up and doing stuff and creeping us out. There was like poltergeist stuff that would happen. You know, there's times where like lights would just turn on and off, and like we were experiencing some demonic stuff. So I began to share these things in the kitchen of this senior pastor's home, and her and her daughter are like, oh, whoa, 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 because you can imagine as I'm glorifying the enemy, the atmosphere starts to change, yeah? Because when we glorify something, we're actually giving it power. So they're like, shh, stop talking about this stuff. Like, we need to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. So they're like, come on, Jackie, say this prayer with us. So I was like, oh, dear Jesus, forgive me for my sins and my past. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth. Obviously, they're taking me through the prayer. I don't know it back off by heart then. But, yeah, and as I said, I'll follow you all the days of my life. I'm thinking, no way I'm going to follow Jesus all my life. Like, what are they trying to make me do? This is weird. And they're like, okay, now you've got to pray in the Spirit. And, you know, just we're going to pray this prayer. And they took me through this prayer. And I'm just like, oh, what the heck are they making me do? And they're like, all right, now just start to pray. And I was just like. And so then they had a word of knowledge. They're like, Jackie, have you ever been into Ouija boards? And I was like, oh yeah, we did a couple when we were young. They're like, oh, have you ever been into you know, hypnotism? I'm like, oh yeah, I did that at one of those, you know, hypnotizing events before, and you know, put my hand up and went up and just pretended that I was being hypnotized. And the guy actually knew it. He's just like, looked at me at the end of the session and was just like, you're a good actor. So thank God that God's hand was on my life, amen, because I didn't fully go under. But I had to repent of that. Because obviously the word of God tells us not to go after those things. It tells us to stay clear and run from those things. So I had to repent. I had to be like, God, forgive me for, you know, doing Ouija boards and trying to open up the spiritual realm. And I asked for forgiveness. And they're helping me with this because I was new. I was very new. They're helping me with these prayers. God, forgive me for, you know, getting hypnotized. And after I actually repented of that, the Holy Spirit came, and then I was able to speak in tongues. And I was like, whoa, that was weird, because I had this word of knowledge that was blocking me from actually operating. But once I'd repented and yielded and given that to God, boom, it came so freely. And it was just like, you know, they just encouraged me, just, you know, when you don't know what to pray, just pray in the Spirit. You know, just pray it under your breath when you're fearful, because God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and one of love and one of a sound mind. I didn't have this crazy, like, encounter in that moment. Like, yes, I was kind of freaked out by the talking in tongues stuff, but I was a little bit like, I'll just go with it because I'm in their house and I'll just go with it. But anyways, I've got to really, really hurry up because time is gone. But fast forward, like, maybe a month or two. So I'm living in the holy fear of the Lord. Like, I can't mess up. Like, I've got to behave. My brother moves over here with the guy and picks me up from community service. I was serving in community service because I couldn't get a job, couldn't get a house to move into. Like, every door that I tried to open was shut. But God. But God. So my brother comes over. They're like, Jackie, we're going out. You're coming with us? And I'm like, no, we can't. She can read my mind. Like, we cannot go out. But they, how many of you know that when you get around the wrong spirit, you'll start to become that? And I'm a baby Christian, so I ended up yielding and going out and getting messed up and getting on drugs that night. So I had this huge backsliding moment after I'd got saved, and I'm just like, man, I can't go back there. So I was like, boys, I'm coming with you to Calvary. So I jumped in the back of their car, and I'm pulling money out of my pockets that I'd obviously stolen. I'm pulling cigarettes out of my pocket that I'd obviously stolen. There was marijuana in there, so I began to roll myself a joint and have a beer at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then the power of God came on me while I was in the back of this car. And all the only way I can explain it was, it's like this big bucket of love was just being poured upon me. So I'm starting to be like, man, did I just take some really epic drug? Because this is better than any drug that I've ever taken. And I was like, what the heck? So I'm asking the boys in the front seat. I'm like, boys, what did I take last night? They're like, oh, Jack, you just smoked some weed and you just drank a lot of alcohol and, you know, you greened out, but, you know, you came back too. And I was like, what the heck is this? And I'm looking out. And you know how when you drive to Calvary, the ocean is just beautiful. The sand is just absolutely stunning. And I began to just see God's beauty in everything. It was like the veil. They talk about the veil being lifted off our eyes in the Bible. And that's actually what happened. Like, it's all of a sudden, it's like I was living in this life of gray. And then all of a sudden it was just bright and colorful. And God was just completely just revealing who he is through what he had created. Then he began to share with me about my past. He began to share with me about my future. He began to share about the moment that I was in right then, because that's how good he is. And this encounter went for, like, I reckon 2 or 3 hours, and we got to Calvary and the boys were like, let's go out to the pub. And so I was hungry, we went to the pub and I had a feed, and they're like, yeah, let's have shots. And I'm like, no thanks. And they're like, what? I'm like, no, I'm going home, see yous. And I jumped in my car and went home. It wasn't my car, it was their car. But but I went home and God had literally just taken that desire from me. Like, I just didn't want to go back. Like, in that moment, I'm just like, no, God is real. I can't. Like, I need to fully surrender my life to him. And in that moment, I'm like, God, I'm so sorry. Like, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to go to Bible college. And I'm like, no, because I'd been rejecting everyone that was like, oh, you should do Bible college. And I'm like, there's no way I'm doing Bible college. That's for losers. They're all a bunch of weirdos. But I was obedient. Like, in that, I was still smoking cigarettes. Don't get me wrong. God didn't fully deliver me of everything in that moment. He's a gracious God, amen. He deals with little bit by little bit. So I sat there smoking a pack of cigarettes that night, and just, he was just speaking to me. And I was just like, oh my gosh. So I got back to Perth a couple of days later. And so I went to church, and I went and signed my name up for Victory Life Bible College. And I didn't have any money, so I was like, oh, God, you're just going to have to buy faith, because I'd been hearing these faith messages. I'm like, I'll just have to believe by faith. And anyways, handed my application in. Within a day, I had a job. Within a week, I had a house to move into with my brother. Within a week, I had someone pay my whole Bible college fees, just like that. Someone that I didn't even know fully furnished my house. You know, the floodgates of heaven just began to open, and every door that I was trying to open began to fling open, because what? I put myself in submission to God. I laid down my life to serve him. I was like, enough of me, Lord. This is your vessel. Use me. And so I did 1 year, and then God told me to do a second year, and I was like, no thanks. And he's like, do a second year. So I did a second year, and by that point I'd transitioned jobs. I studied when I was 16 to be a massage therapist, but unfortunately, because of my life choices, I never use that. But God opened a door because He doesn't let things just fall to the ground. He will use everything for His glory. Amen. So He opened up a door. I was working a massage therapist in a physio as a massage therapist, and I'd go to Bible college and then I'd go to work till about 7 o'clock. So I was working really hard and, you know, everything was great because I'm getting fed the word of God every day. I'm being renewed and transformed by the renewing of my mind because He is just good. And then third year came and I was like, cool, it's my time to be blessed, because I learned all about blessings in Bible college. And I was like, cool, let's go get blessed. And I went to work and I'd always been fully booked. Every day I had fully booked clients. Like, there's no, like, man, it was ridiculously weird. Other people had been working there for years and they were never fully booked. But the grace of God, the favor of God was on my life because I was yielded to doing what He'd called me to do. So I began to, went to work that day. No clients, completely empty. And I'm like, God, what the heck? Like, this is my time. You know, I just did 2 whole years for You. Like, this is my time. And so I unfortunately didn't ask the question. I was like, oh, like, I wasn't going to ask to do 30. I didn't want to become a pastor. No, thank you. And got on the train and ran into someone from Bible college, because on the train line from Glendalough to the city, it's like you see people from Bible college all the time. And this guy's like, maybe you meant to do third year. And I'm like, ah, no, thanks. Kept walking. Another person, oh, maybe you meant to do third year Bible college. No, thanks. And then I went back to, I was like, all right, I'll go talk to my principal. So I went and spoke to Pastor Judy. And I was like, you know, everyone's saying that I should do Bible college again. And I just really feel like I've done 2 years. And she's like, go sit in the class. So I went and sat in the class. And the power of God came on me again. I'm like, okay, God, I'll do it. Okay, I'll do it. So I did third year, and then He opened some amazing doors. I went and worked for Child Protection Services for 2.5 years, because as my youth was, that's where I made all the wrong choices. I just have such a heart for youth. And I was like, all right, well, let's go serve in the youth ministry. So I was serving in youth ministry. I went and got a job with DCP, learned some amazing skills through that process. And then I went and worked for Altar One for 2.5 years and more. Like, just God is always taking me through processes. Amen. So I went through and did that as well. And then God called me out here, and I was happy where I was. I didn't want to come out here. Like, I signed up to build a house in Alkimos, and, you know, I was in the process of all that. So when I got calls to come out here, I'm like, no, thanks. But obviously I know that, you know, doors shut when we don't obey. You know, we've just got to constantly, even when we don't like it. I actually had someone this week that needed somewhere to live, and I've got this big house with all these empty rooms. And someone said the other day at this pastor's meet that, you know, oh, God's going to fill your house, and now my house is full. I've got a young lady there and her son coming to live there, and they moved in yesterday. But, you know, God is good. You know, all the things that people did for me when I was going through my process and my journey with the Lord, like, now He's using me to, you know, do that for somebody else. And I know I'll be blessed. Like, he actually blessed me again with a whole house of furniture. But this time it's probably 20-fold more expensive. Like, I'm not even kidding you. Like, He filled the whole place. And I just think that's just the glory of God. And I was like, I was sitting there pinching myself. Like, you know, first of all, I got given a few beds and a little bit of furniture. But then when I actually moved in, like, someone blessed me with everything I could possibly need. And I was like going through my house, scanning it. It's probably 15 to 20 grand's worth of stuff. And I'm just like, God, what the heck? And He's like, Jack, you remember when you were living with your brother? You got, you know, you got blessed with all that furniture, and then your ex-boyfriend moved in and they were living, playing around in the world. You're in Bible college and you left and you decided to follow me still. You actually sowed that into their lives. And then, you know, 10, 12 years later, He did it again. God is just that good. The seeds that, you know, we plant, they don't just fall to the ground. Like, He remembers everything. Things that I don't remember, He just brings it up. Well, Jack, you remember this? And I'm like, oh, wow, that's powerful. I don't do it to get. It's just that He's good. So, Father, I just thank You, God. I thank You for this beautiful group of people. I thank You that You are just... You just love every person in this room so much that You gave your son to die on a cross that we may be in relationship with you, that we may have life and life abundantly. And Lord, I thank you that, yeah, you're continuing the work that you began in me, Lord, and you're continuing the work you began in all of us. You're just constantly just wooing us and showing us how to be more like you, God. And Lord, I just thank you for, if there's people in this room that haven't fully yielded their life, haven't fully given in, haven't fully just been like, yep, I'm yours, let me be your hands and your feet, I just ask you to come to the front. You know, God's in the business of transforming lives. God's in the business of, you know, using people. Because he could use anyone. Like if I was to walk away from what he's called me to do, there's someone else that's there waiting. So I just encourage you right now, if there's things in your life that you want to lay at his feet right now, and if the band want to come forward, that would be fantastic. I just ask that you even just raise your hand if you don't want to get up. I respect that. I honor that. And we can just maybe, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'll just put it this way then. If there's something that spoke to you in that and you feel like there's a part of your life that you haven't fully been healed from, rejection's the word that Pastor Wayne got. If you feel like, you know, I really want to just be set free. I don't want to be in bondage anymore with rejection. You know, because it's not who you are. Rejection is a filthy lie from the enemy. And I'd love to share a little bit on how I got fully set free from rejection, but I don't have the time now, but hopefully we get another opportunity. But if that's you, if you're struggling with rejection, or, you know, even if there's something else in the message that spoke to you and you're like, you know what, I just want prayer, we've got some amazing pastors here that would love to pray with you. And if not, let's just stand and let's just worship God and give thanks to him for who he is and for what he's doing in Hillside Church and what he's doing in Hillside Youth Group. Because we just love you, God. We thank you for it. We'll just leave that altar open for you guys if anyone wants to come forward, and the pastors will come and pray. Amen.